Presented by Blue Cross Blue Shield Association.
Good Tuesday morning. I'm Nirmal Malaikal, and welcome to your Politico Playbook audio briefing. Here's what's driving the day in D.C. Tucker Carlson has a new GOP target. But first, we've got some breaking news about who Republicans might be targeting in the 2022 elections. The National Republican Congressional Committee announced this morning that it added 10 House Democrats to its list of takeover targets, bringing its grand total to 57. Who's on the blacklist? Let me tell you, oh lucky listeners. From the Golden State of California, Amy Berra, Jim Costa, and Raul Ruiz. From the Empire State, our winners are Kathleen Rice, Paul Tonko, Joe Morelli, and Brian Higgins. And rounding out the target list are Marie Newman of Illinois, Dan Kildee of Michigan, and Chrissy Houlihan of Pennsylvania. Congratulations, winners! You've made the NRCC's takeover target list. Our playbook authors see the NRCC's move as a show of confidence that 2022 could be favorable for Republicans, especially post-reapportionment. Still, while the GOP figures out its 2022 election strategy to beat Democrats, party infighting continues to dominate headlines. For the second consecutive show, Fox News host Tucker Carlson went after House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy on Monday night. Carlson criticized McCarthy for his close relationship with Frank Luntz.
So actually, the top Republican in the House does live with someone who lobbies for Google. Mystery solved. So now you know why they listen to Frank Luntz, but they don't listen to you.
Luntz, where have I heard that before? If that name doesn't ring a bell, he's a longtime GOP pollster and consultant who's worked for numerous corporate clients. And recently, Luntz said there, quote, isn't a shred of hope for Donald Trump to re-enter politics after the January 6th insurrection. On Monday, Carlson reported on air that McCarthy rents space in Luntz's penthouse.
Frank Luntz and Kevin McCarthy are not simply friends, they're roommates.
McCarthy's staff confirmed their roommate status in a statement to the network, though his staff wouldn't say how much he pays in rent. Carlson said this secret info was leaked to Fox News by a knowledgeable, unnamed source. Interesting.
So again, the question is, how did someone like this wind up with so much influence in the Republican Party? Why do Republican officials listen more carefully to Frank Luntz than they listen to their own voters?
This might not be a good look for McCarthy. If the GOP takes back the House, he will need 218 votes to secure the gavel. Last time McCarthy went for it, he didn't get the votes and had to drop his effort. Our playbook team reached out to Luntz on Monday night, but no word back yet. McCarthy's office also did not respond to a request for comment. Before we get to the rest of our news roundup, here's the White House's schedule for today. The president will receive his daily briefing at 10:15. He will then deliver remarks at 2:30 about the pandemic response and vaccination campaign. VP Kamala Harris will speak to the Washington Conference on the Americas at 9:35. She'll then leave at 10:55 for Milwaukee. There, she'll see Clean Energy Labs at the University of Wisconsin at Milwaukee at 2. At 2:50, she'll take part in a roundtable discussion of the American Jobs Plan and R&D investments. She'll leave for Washington at 5:50. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki will hold a briefing at 12:30. As top Republicans turn on Liz Cheney, the party's highest-ranking woman in Congress, Armel Zanona reports that someone is gunning to be her replacement, Republican Study Committee Chair Jim Banks of Indiana. As Mel reports, Banks has been running something of a shadow messaging operation as the head of the largest conservative caucus in the House. He's been pushing out talking points that counter Cheney's, and he's reportedly got McCarthy's ear and respect. Why does this matter? Well, several of his predecessors, including Steve Scalise and Tom Price, used his current post as a jumping-off point for a leadership bid. For more on Banks and his campaign to take down Liz Cheney, check out Mel's profile at Politico.com. Now, to the Biden administration's first major policy reversal, according to Politico's Laura Barone Lopez. On Monday, the White House announced that President Joe Biden set the cap on refugees allowed into the United States for the rest of the fiscal year at 62,500. The number delivers on an increase Biden initially promised in February, though it still falls short of what he pledged during the campaign. The move comes after the White House said several weeks ago it would keep the number of refugees allowed into the United States at a historic low of 15,000, a ceiling first implemented by President Donald Trump. So, what should we make of the move? Lopez says it will help Biden repair damage with Democrats and refugee resettlement agencies who blasted the president for initially keeping the Trump-era limit in place. Subscribe to the Playbook newsletter at politico.com/playbook. And make sure to check out our new weekly podcast dropping every Friday, Playbook Deep Dive. I'm Nirmal Malaiko, filling in this week. Thanks, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
The United States has the highest maternal death rate of any developed nation, and racial disparities are a key factor. That's why Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies are confronting this crisis. They've launched a multi-year nationwide health equity strategy, starting with a goal to reduce racial disparities in maternal health by 50% over the next 5 years, building a more equitable system for the health of America.